Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And tonight we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. I am excited about tonight's lesson. And I want you to pay attention. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read here in just a moment towards the latter part of the chapter. Once you get to Romans 8, just look at me for a second. And that will help me. Folks, tonight's lesson it's going to be a little wordy. I don't know how else to say that. You're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to kind of pay attention a little bit more than you normally do. Now, I'll try to make it quite simple, but there's a truth that will probably have to unteach what you've been taught most of your life. Not because it's new truth, but because most people just don't teach it the way God says. And this is a lesson on the Holy Spirit, and I want you to follow with me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that scattereth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, look at me. Keep your Bible open right there. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. It's Wednesday night Bible study, and we're going to use it. Let me remind you, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Just like you are a body, a soul, and a spirit, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that means when you pray, did you know you can talk to the Father? Did you know you could also talk to the Son? And did you know you can talk to the Holy Spirit? Say, well, I don't know about you, but there's only three that call me dad. No, now there's four. Not because my wife's pregnant, but because I got one son that got married, amen? So I do now have four. I thought I better clarify that, just so you didn't start another rumor. Jerry's having triplets. I don't have to have any more, amen? But I have three of my own and one that has married into my family that call me dad. Past that, nobody else calls me dad. Unless I hear those four voices say dad, I don't respond. You say why? Because they're not talking to me, they're talking to somebody else. That means this: you can talk directly to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. This means he talks to the Father for you. You can talk to the Holy Spirit, and he can go to the Father and restate it in such a way that maybe you didn't say it real good. He's going to fix it. Let me tell you what I mean. Oh, for many years, it was my privilege to work with Brother Owens, and for a while, about 5 years, we worked together on staff with Brother Hiles. When I went to work in Indiana for Brother Hiles, going to college, Brother Hiles, in public, when he would answer questions, he had a way of humbling people. He had a way of, if you didn't ask a question right, he could eat you alive in front of about 5,000 people and not think twice. Matter of fact, he enjoyed eating people for lunch in those cases. I learned a long time ago, you don't walk into a shark tank bleeding, amen? So I would often go to Brother Owens and say, how should I ask Brother Hiles this question? And he would help me word it. You say, why? He was closer and had known and had worked for Brother Hiles longer than I had. So I would ask him how to ask a question. There were times, I found out later, that not only did I ask him that, but before I would ask that question, Brother Owens would go to Brother Hiles and say, Brother Bush is going to ask you this. This is what he's wanting, but I would like for him to have something more, and this is but I'd like for you to help me get him get. Okay. In other words, he was becoming an intercessor for me. I had never asked him to do that. I just didn't want to get chewed up in a staff meeting. Say, what was that? I was a chicken. But this chicken kept his lips on, amen? Now, wait a minute. There were times, and by the way, one was real complicated. Those of you that knew Brother Hiles, he hated the type of question where somebody would talk for about 3 minutes to explain it before they asked the question. That was usually called sure death. He would, good job, Brother Ron. I know that one. Pizza time. Anyway, but there was one question I literally had to ask a whole paragraph about. I had been on staff for several years, and I said, Brother Hiles, I have a question. I need to know. I said, I feel like I need to do some explaining before I ask it, or I can just ask the question. Which do you prefer? You say, what was that? I kept my lips on. He said, oh, go ahead and explain it and then ask your question. I said, whew, here we go. So in just 2 minutes, I had explained it, asked the question. He said, boy, am I glad you explained that first, because I'm not even sure I would have known what question to ask you about that. I thought, man, I got by with that one. Now, wait a minute. That intercession, somebody going on your behalf and reinterpreting what needs said. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for you. Tonight, the Holy Spirit and praying with the Holy Spirit. I want to teach you what praying with the Holy Spirit as your intercessor means. Now, this is where some of you are learning this. When you got saved, I hate to tell you this, Jesus did not come and move into your heart. The Holy Spirit did. The Bible says that he is in us and dwells in us. You accepted what Jesus did, but the new birth was the Holy Spirit regenerating your spirit, and he dwells inside of you eternally. So it is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. It's not Jesus. Okay? Now, I'm not mad if you have taught otherwise. I'm sure I've said it, preached it, and done it 100 times, but it's not true. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. That means this. The Holy Spirit knows you. The Holy Spirit knows your strengths. The Holy Spirit knows your weaknesses. The Holy Spirit knows what motivates you, and he knows what doesn't motivate you. The Holy Spirit knows when you're going to do right because he's watched you do it enough. And he knows when you're looking both ways and about to mess up. So, he knows everything about us. That gives him the ability, as we pray, to re-ask the Father in such a way. That's why the Bible says, in groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever asked for something, and somebody above you said, are you sure you really want that? Oh, yeah, I know this will work. And they said, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, it is. And you got it. Once you got it, you said, why in the world did I ever ask for that? You know, it's kind of like kids. I'm sorry. Now, tonight, I want to help you understand how you can use the Holy Spirit to help you in prayer. Here we go. Number one. By the way, I only have 2 points tonight. But don't put your shoes on, ladies, because they're long points. 27 subpoints under each. Number one, the Holy Spirit intercedes, listen to this, with us. The Holy Spirit intercedes with us. Those little prepositions mean a lot. That little word with is different. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know what we should pray for as we, not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The word intercession, the word intercede there, means to intercede with the person who is trying to ask for something. That word intercession and the word intercession in the next verse in the Greek language are two different words. So hang on. We're going somewhere. What this means is, it is different. Well, it means he goes with us to the Father. Levi, come on up here. Put your Bible down. You don't read it anyway. Let's pretend that I'm the Holy Spirit. And Brother Smith, you get to be God the Father on the throne. Amen. You don't even have to get up. You like this illustration, don't you? So, yeah, you're dead meat. Here's what happens. Levi wants something, and he could go to the Father by himself and ask. And he has that right. But, back here, Levi. Quit talking. This is what you got to realize. He has somebody inside there called the Holy Spirit. And if he'll ask me, I can go with you. And guess what? I know him better than you do. Go ahead. Hey, would you listen to him for a second? And he asks for something. Guess what? Who's got a better chance of getting it? Now, it doesn't mean just that. Stay here for a second. Why don't you stand over there? You don't want to cover the Father up. Amen? Now, listen to this very carefully. I don't always know what I need. Do you know there are times you don't know what you need? That means because I don't know what I need, he doesn't always know what he needs. But because I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm God, and I know him, I know what he needs. There are times he might ask the Father for something and say, I don't even know what I need. And I'll say, but I know what he needs. Would you listen to me for a second while he's talking? And I'm able to tell the Father as the Holy Spirit what he needs because he doesn't even know what he needs. Hang on, Levi. Stand back where you were. Now watch this. That means if I ask the Holy Spirit to help me know what to ask the Father. Not only can the Holy Spirit go with me, he's told me what I can say to get what I need. Listen to this. When I pray, often I'll say, Holy Spirit, I'm not even sure what to ask. Would you help me right now? And the Holy Spirit will prompt me and I'll write it down. And then I say, would you go with me? Go talk to the Father. Then he and I go together and we talk to the Father and we ask. And even if I don't ask it quite right, guess what? He's there to step in and say, not yet. Let me reinterpret that, Father. He didn't mean it quite that way. Watch this. How does this work? How does that happen? You can have a seat. I'll use you again later. I can't find anybody else dumb enough to listen, so let me show you what I mean. Let's say I need a new suit, and I tell the Holy Spirit that I need a new suit. And the Holy Spirit says, that's right, you need a new suit. The ones you got are old, they're tattered. I'm just using this as an illustration, all right? But I say, I go to the Father without asking the Holy Spirit other than you need a new suit. Yes, you do. Then I go to the Father and say, God, I need a new suit. I want a $1,000 handmade tailored suit. Guess what? The Holy Spirit saying, that's not what he needs, Father. He just needs a new suit. He just needs a new suit. it might be that he's got a $300 suit at Goodwill that I can get for $20. It might be that somebody's prompted to purchase me a new suit. Great. Church here just last Christmas or so purchased me two new suits. Thank God for it. By the way, I needed them. Were they $1,000 each? No. Shoot, there's not a suit and clothes in the world worth that to me. Half of my suits have come from Goodwill. Say why? I get good suits there, cost me $20. I could buy 50 suits at $20. I don't need $1,000 suits. By the way, most of you don't either. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody in here who needs a $1,000 suit. Yeah, if you can afford it, I'm for it. But may I say this? It's not a need for me to have a $1,000 suit. Say, what would you do with it? Take it back and get your money back for you. I would. I'm not sure I would wear one worth that. Say, why? Are you too good? I'm not good enough. That's why. Now, wait a minute. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. You may ask for things and get disappointed because that's not what you're supposed to have. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you a couple verses here. We're going to use our Bible for just a second. This is all going to make sense in just a minute here. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 18. Here we go. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, when the Holy Spirit, I ask him for a new suit, I often say, what do I ask for? I've gotten to the point where I don't put limitations on it. And I say, will you go with me to the Father? By the way, that's what it's talking about right here. We have access to the Father through one Spirit. By the way, look at that Spirit. It's capitalized. That's the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit unto the Father. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Now's when it's going to start making sense to you. Okay? Matthew chapter 18. We've been influenced by the charismatics so much in doctrine that we don't realize what God really says. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 19. Are you ready? Here we go. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is where I want you to listen. Most people say that means this. Brother Smith, I need a new suit. Would you bind together and pray with me that I get a new suit? Because you and I together could get God's attention. That is not what that verse says. Brother Gus, you've been saved, right? Who lives inside of you? Holy Spirit. Guess what? That means each believer is two people. If two agree on earth, that means if you're in agreement with the Holy Spirit, you have the right to go to the Father and ask what you want. Look at it again. The words agree mean in harmony, in symphony, in total agreement. That means it doesn't say if you agree with one another here on earth. It says if two of you. Well, every believer is two to God because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. And we get to the Father through His Spirit. That means if I am in total agreement with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in total agreement with me, I have the right to go to the Father and He'll give me what we ask for. Did you ever have God answer a prayer and you didn't ask somebody else to pray with you? Can I tell you why you got it? The Holy Spirit agreed with you. It doesn't say anywhere in here that you go to somebody else and bind together. It says if two of you on earth, guess what? He left the Holy Spirit on earth for every believer. Now, listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit talks to the Father as I talk to the Father in agreement to get the Father's attention. I needed a new suit. Levi, come on up here. I'm going to ask you to ask the Father for a new suit. I'll play the Holy Spirit in the deal. So you start talking to him and asking him for a new suit.
I need a new suit.
That's right. He needs a new suit.
Father, could you help me get a new suit?
Hey, he needs a new suit. Would you listen to him?
I really could use it.
That's what the Holy Spirit does for you when you're in agreement. Amen. Have a seat. Not only are you in agreement with the Holy Spirit, but while you're there with the Father, he's speaking up for you saying, yeah, that's right. That's right. You need that. Hey, those of you that are soul winners, you know what I'm talking about. You knock on a door, you talk to somebody and say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? And they say, no. You open the Bible and you start walking down the Romans road with them and show them how they're sinners, how that Jesus Christ paid their sin debt. And if they die without Christ, they're going to hell. But Jesus died, shed his blood, resurrected and conquered death for them. And you say the whole time while you're doing that, the Holy Spirit's working on them saying, that's right. You need this. That's right. You know you need this. The Holy Spirit is working on them to get them to where they'll trust the Savior. He is working on their heart, trying to get them saved. They're feeling that conviction. But they're feeling the conviction from the Holy Spirit inside you to their life. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I say this? A Spirit-filled soul winner is a very powerful entity in the universe. I don't mean this unkindly. If I'm out door-to-door soul winning, and I get my Bible opened, and I get through the gospel, about 99 times out of 100, the person gets saved. It's the most unusual thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Now, I don't always get that far, but if I get all the way through, rarely does somebody say, nope, not doing that. Can I tell you why? Because I tried to go in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and they can't fight that. That doesn't mean every time I go soul winning, somebody gets saved. Did you hear that? I said, if I can get through the scriptures with them. Say, why? Because I can't win them to the Lord. God's got to do it. God's got to do that, not me. Boy, that's a good statement. So, the Holy Spirit becomes my prayer partner to God for my needs and meets me at the throne with the Father. That's why Psalm 37, verse number 4, is in the Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That doesn't mean God is a genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle and the genie pops out and you say, this is what I want, and then you get mad at him because he didn't answer what you asked him for. That means delight thyself also in the Lord. Become in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And when you and the Holy Spirit are in total agreement, then you go to God and ask for what you want. Did you catch that? But you need to make sure your desires and the Holy Spirit's desires meet one another when you go there. Then God gives you a blank check. That's step number one. Now, here's step number two. Take your Bibles back to Romans chapter 8. We said, number one, the Holy Spirit intercedes with us. Here we go. Verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Point number two, the Holy Spirit intercedes for what we don't ask for. Not only does he intercede with us, it says he intercedes for us. Wow. Now I'm about to shout. Now I'm about to have a spell. The word intercede in Romans 8:27 means intercede for, pleading to God for, asking for what you either did not ask appropriately or what you did not ask for. Wow. Not only is he there with you, not only are you in agreement with him, but when you meet there in agreement with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and maybe you forgot to ask for something, or maybe the Holy Spirit knows what you need more than what you know you need, and he starts asking for things you didn't ask for. That is point number two. Levi, come on back up here. Let me show you what I mean. I want you to ask for a suit again. He's in agreement. You need a suit.
Can I have a suit?
Father, he needs a suit. Would you give him a suit?
Father, I could use a new suit.
Hang on. God, he needs a new suit, but would you give him a shirt and tie and pair of shoes to go with it that would match? I've seen how he dresses. He needs it real bad. Now, wait a minute. That's called interceding for. He didn't ask for new shirt, tie, and shoes, but the Holy Spirit knew what he needed. And the Holy Spirit, because he was in agreement, said, would you give him a little extra? Have a seat. Did you know, did you ever see God answer something and then give you more than what you asked for? It could be that that was the Holy Spirit working for you and you didn't even know it. You see, those are the extras that come with it. Look at your Bible again. Romans 8, verse number 28. And we know all things work together for good. Look at me. That does not mean everything in your viewpoint turns into good. But when the Holy Spirit intercedes with you and you're in agreement with him, and he intercedes for you and asks for things you did not ask, guess what? All things work together for good. Let me show you what I mean. I may want all victories, but the Holy Spirit may know I need a defeat. I may go into the Father with the Holy Spirit wanting a victory, and it's not wrong to want the victory. And the Holy Spirit said, he's full of pride and he needs a defeat right now. I may want all happy, cheery days, but the Holy Spirit knows I need cloudy, rainy days. I may want all smiles and good times, but the Holy Spirit may know I need tears and difficulty. I'll be honest with you. If you lived with the amount of bad news I hear, it would shock you. I'm not kidding. I was at a place of business today. And I was waiting and somebody was ahead of me and this dear old lady was telling a story and the poor guy at the desk was getting her life's history and all how bad that is. And I waited 3-4 minutes and she turned around and finally saw that somebody else was there and she says, oh, that's enough of my problems. You don't want to hear them anyway. And he was very kind to her. Well, the man doing business knew who I was and knows what I am and knows me pretty well. He said, Reverend, is that the kind of stuff you got to listen to all the time? I said, mm-hmm. He said, how do you smile so much? He said, I never worked this side of the business. He said, I can't put up with that very long. I said, that's what I'm here for. I said, I know who helps carry that load. He said, you must. He said, I don't know how you smile. He said, I've done this for a day and a half. I'm about ready. He said, I'm going fishing tomorrow. I'm shutting down. I'm going fishing. He said, I can't take this anymore. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit knows what you need. Do you know that there are some times, okay, I'll be honest with you. Now, I take a strong stand. But you can ask anybody that knows me up close, I hate to fight. I hate contention. I hate arguing. I hate dissension. I don't like to fight. Now, you back me in the corner over doctrine, buddy, you got a tiger by the tail and I'm going to lunge. But you're going to force me to do it. I don't like to fight. I didn't say I won't, but I don't like to. I didn't like, and I'll just be very candid with you, I didn't like all the circumstances that brought me into pastoring. But I thank God for it. God knew what I needed. God knows what you needed. We didn't like all the situations that have come into our life. I didn't like 22 years ago. I had to think. 22 plus years ago, my oldest son was about 5-6 months old and had RSV, bronchiolitis, pneumonia, and asthma, and was on a ventilator for 3 weeks, and the only thing keeping him alive was a machine breathing for him. I don't like that. Do you know how many people God has used to soften my heart so I wouldn't be such a hard-headed, unfeeling, untouchable person because of that? You know how many hospitals I've been in because of that? You know how many sick children and families with sick folks that I've been able to sit with and able to help because of that? Good night. I've watched so many people die. I'll be honest with you, I hate death. Sunday night, I got a call after church. My grandma got rushed to the hospital on Sunday. I thought, oh boy, here we go. I was braced. She's still in the hospital. You say, are you sad? I don't want her suffering. She's okay. She's tough old German, amen. She doesn't give up. After 96 years, you don't give up quite that easy, amen. But I know the days are coming. I do. I hate to say this because my mom and dad are here, but I've had a file in my desk for many, 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 many years because grandma wants me to preach her funeral. This week, I pulled that file out with all the information I've thrown in there over the years, and I've started. You say, why? Because I plan on crying a little bit, but I plan on comforting my family in the process. I'm not going to fall apart. I know when she takes her last breath here, I know where she's going to be. And I know who the first person after Jesus is that she's going to see, and that's my grandpa. Man, is that going to be a reunion. And others. Can I tell you something? I almost envy her a little bit. Now, I don't want her to suffer on the trip. But may I say this? I've comforted hundreds and hundreds of others at funerals. Why couldn't I comfort my own family? I've needed those. By the way, I've preached in a lot of nursing homes. My grandma's been in a nursing home for years. My dad's parents were in nursing homes for years. Can I tell you something? I go into a nursing home to preach. Brother Mark, you've been with me. I love on those people like I want somebody to love on my family. Say why? Because I can't be with them, but I can love on somebody else's family the way I wish somebody could love on my family that was there. Say, what is that? Intercession. Listen to me. You've seen the illustration or heard of it. Nobody likes to eat flour. Did you ever take a big old spoonful of flour and try to chew it up? Man, that's enough to make anybody have reactions they shouldn't have. Did you ever take a big old spoonful of salt, chew on it? Say, no way. Or, take a spoonful of baking powder. Now that is rough stuff. Did you ever swallow a raw egg? Now, the worst thing of all to me would be putting buttermilk down my throat. Man, I can't drink cow's milk, let alone buttermilk. Gag. But I know this. Did you ever take a bite of Crisco? Say, oh, yeah, that's nasty stuff. Say, why in the world would you do any of that? You wouldn't. But you put it all together, mix it up, and throw it in the oven, and you got biscuits. None of the individual pieces are good. But all those things work together, turn out good, don't they? Can I tell you something? And we know all things work together for good. Say why? When you're in agreement with the Father through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit goes to the Father with you, He intercedes at your side, and while He's there, He's asking the Father for things you did not ask for, things you forgot to ask for, and extra things He knows you need. And He also might be saying, He doesn't need a $1,000 suit. You need to guide Him to Goodwill and get Him a new suit there. He doesn't have $1,000 for a suit, but He's got $20 in His pocket, and He could get one if you just guide Him to the right Goodwill. Everybody doing all right? This is part that I like. This is why you don't need a pope, a priest, the Mary, or saints. You don't pray through the pope and get God's attention. You got the Holy Spirit. You don't need to say Mary, Mother of God, and all those other weirdo things. Number one, she's not the Mother of God. She was a vessel God used to birth the body of our Savior, but she was not sinless. Everybody doing all right? Well, we don't pray to Mary, we pray through Mary. That's what the Catholics will teach. Guess what? You can't pray through Mary. You got the Holy Spirit. They have to pray through Mary because they don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray through St. Peter and St. John and St. Philip and St. whoever. Well, we have our patron saint of health and our patron saint. You don't pray through the saints. The reason they need a saint is because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Listen to this statement. Catholicism is humanism with religion attached. It's worshiping man. Man or woman can touch the heart of God better for you if you pray through them because they're already there. Number one, I'm not sure about everybody they say that's there. Number two, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit that intercedes for you and with you. Why do you need some other human being? Boy, that's a good statement.
Yes.
You don't have to be like the charismaniacs and go to somebody and bind together in prayer, brother. By the way, that's why you get so discouraged when you went with somebody else to prayer and God didn't answer it the way you wanted. That's humanism. It could be that the Holy Spirit didn't want you to have it right then. It could be that if you'd work with getting to know the Holy Spirit and praying with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would help you. Guess what? Then you'll get things you didn't even ask for. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Best illustration I know of this. I left, went to Bible college. I was praying a little. I prepared. And I was praying for God to give me the right person to date and marry. I met my wife. We had one date. I came back. I told my roommates, that's the lady I'm going to marry. They said, you can't know after one date. I said, I do. By the way, 11 months later, I put a ring on her finger. And 7, 8, 9 months after that, something like that, we got married. And have been married over 25 years. I thought, listen to this, I knew what I wanted in a spouse. And I thought I knew what I got. And God gave me more. Not more wives, just... I was watching Brother Gus's brain over there, and it was smoking right then. Oh, wait a minute. God gave me more than I even knew to ask for. God knew what up to 25 years of our ministry and life together would entail, that she had qualities in her, there's no way I had enough sense to know. Say, what was that? I was in agreement with the Holy Spirit. I was in agreement with the Word of God. God put us together, and look what He has done. I have drugged that woman all over this country. We've been in California, South Carolina, Indiana, West Virginia. Man, we have been with the L.A. riots. I'm not kidding. We were out in Long Beach during the L.A. riots with the Rodney King riots. My wife has never carried a gun in her life. I knocked on the door when the riot started, and she came to the door with a 20-gauge shotgun, and I said, it's me, don't pull the trigger. It was that bad. I'm not kidding. You talk about one rough place, that was it. Then I took her to the Deep South, and I'm talking Charleston, South Carolina. Amen, Brother Mrs. Hawkins. We were in the Low Country. There's a reason they call it the Low Country. Then we went to Indiana. We were on the south side of Chicago. Boy, were there some exciting days there. Then we've moved here. Say, has she ever complained? Nope. The will of God. We've weathered sick children. We've weathered one nearly dying from lung problems. We had one that nearly died from choking on a piece of popcorn stuck in her lungs for 7 months. Had to go in with bronchoscopies. Thought it was asthma. We've lived through epileptic seizures and dealing with petit mal seizures. We have lived with busted lips, broken arms and collarbones, and kids falling off roofs. Let's see, what else? I mean, they've cut their hands, cut their arms. Josh has got a gash in his arm. He called me one day. He said, I'm at the hospital, it's okay, but I can see the main artery in my arm. I cut it with a box cutter. Oh, brother. Man, we've been through it all. We had one before he left for college stick his finger in the lawnmower and cut the end of his finger off just about 2 weeks before he leaves for college. Hey, we've been through a lot of exciting times together, amen? Did I know 25 years ago how she would handle all those things? I didn't know how I'd handle all those things. Can I tell you something? When you pray through the Holy Spirit, it's much the same way. You might not understand all those qualities. I'm going to make a statement. My wife and I haven't always seen eye to eye on everything. But guess what? Most of the time, we get through it and say, we did it right, or I should have listened to you. But either way, it's okay. We learned. And when we faced it again, not if, when, we get through it. Do you know, I did not cry at my son's wedding much. I was happy. Say why? Because I want him and Ruth Ann to be as happy as my wife and I have been. I really do. I am as excited for them as I am for my wife and I. Why cry? I'm not losing. I just don't have to pay his bills no more, amen? You got to pay them all now. And he's got to pay for somebody else. I got to tell you this story. This is funny. My son Jeff called me. No, Josh and Jeff both called on Sunday night. My wife's talking to one. The other calls me, and then we switch phones, you know. And they're not even in, they don't even live together anymore. And it's, okay, this is uncanny here. Josh said, oh, we had Jeff over for lunch today. Had him over to the house and things, and I said, that's good. He said, there ain't no leftovers. I was dying. I started laughing, Brother Gus. I said, I know that feeling. I'm just figuring out what leftovers are. I said, I didn't know we ever had any. Man, I said, paybacks are tough, aren't they? He said, yeah, I'll say. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you don't have to pray by yourself ever, because you have the Holy Spirit of God inside you. And when you line up your desires with the desires of the Holy Spirit and you meet in agreement, say, how do you know you've met in agreement? Because it lines up with that book right there. and you meet up in agreement, and then you go to the Father. When somebody comes to me and says, I'm going to sell my house, I'm going to divorce my wife, I'm going to give all the money to the Salvation Army, and I'm supposed to go live in the desert and talk to a lizard the rest of my life. I just believe it's what the Lord wants me to do. Okay, that was something totally weird, and it doesn't line up with that. That's not the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. That's some kind of other spirit's telling you what to do. I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. Because the Holy Spirit always works in line with that right there. It won't be outside the Word of God. Some of you don't know the Word of God well enough, and you're making the Holy Spirit work double time in your life. You're making Him stay at the throne a lot longer than you're there just to make up for what you didn't know to ask for. But when you get in agreement with Him, man, is it fun. He'll intercede with you, but watch this. When you go to ask and you've been in agreement, every once in a while He's going to say, Father, would you throw a new shirt and tie and a pair of shoes in there with him? Would you help him a little more? Would you give him a little extra? He didn't ask you for that. Would you do a little more? Whew, man, is that fun. Praying with the Holy Spirit. By the way, you never have to tell somebody else your need then. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You never have to wonder. You never have to worry about having a prayer partner when you have the Holy Spirit. You never have to pray by yourself, but you do got to get in line with your greatest power prayer partner, and that is the Holy Spirit.